1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1, testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1, testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1.
KO4ZEW, W4DJW. Nothing heard, W4DJW, turn it on the parrot.
KO4WWZW.
W4DJW, turn it on the parrot. This is W4DJW doing a test with the parrot turned on.
W4DJW, KO4WWZ, I have a little static, but it's probably due to my location. Don't you? You're very, very audible, crystal clear. I can hear you. I would say you're probably about a 5 or 6.
Hey, Chandler, I'm trying to do a test with the parrot. Can you stand by for a couple of minutes?
Roger that. Sorry, I thought
he was
trying to do a radio check with
you. This is W4DJW doing a test with the parrot turned on.
W4DJW, KO4WWZ. I have a little static, but it's probably due to my location. Don't you? You're very, very audible, crystal clear. I can hear you. I would say you're probably about a 5 or 6.
Hey, Chandler, I'm trying to do a test with the parrot. Can you stand by for a couple of minutes?
Roger that. Sorry, I thought he was trying to do a radio check with
you. Okay, I'm going to start this test over again. W4DJW acting, fading the parrot. Okay, the parrot has been activated. W4DJW testing the parrot. Okay, the parrot has been activated. W4DJW, testing the parrot. Okay, evidently the parrot has a problem with a squelch tail. I'm going to turn the squelch tail off and see if I can get the parrot to work. If anybody needs to use the repeater, please let me know. W4DJW. W4DJW, checking net mode. Okay, no squelch tail. W4DJW, turn it on parrot. Okay, W4DJW with the parrot activated. Okay, W4DJW with the parrot activated. Okay, W4DJW, test complete. You can go ahead and use the repeater now, Chandler, if you're still there.
Sorry about that interference. So what exactly is the parrot?
So you know how people key up the repeater and they say, can I get a signal check? Can I get a radio check? Can I, somebody give me, tell me how my signal sounds? Or you know how we do that a lot. Well, the parrot can do that for you, and you can be the judge of your signal. So if you have a DTMF pad on your handheld, you can press the letter, the number 1, you key up, you know, give your call sign, key up, give your call sign. Press the number while you've got the push-to-talk down, you hold the number 1 down and then let off of it, and then you hold the pound sign down and let off of it, and that puts it in parrot mode. And then when you let off, you key up again. When you let off, it goes into parrot mode. Then when you key up again and you say something, you can say like test 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1, test, and you let off of it, the repeater will repeat it back to you exactly the way you sound to the repeater. And that way you can judge for yourself what you sound like. You don't have to be judging from somebody who's 100 miles away and says, you sound cruddy, right? You sound really bad. Whereas somebody who's right under the repeater would say, you sound most excellent, right? So you can't trust asking somebody what you sound like because they could be 100 miles away or they could be right under the repeater or they could be somewhere in between, and you have no idea. So if you want to hear it for yourself, then you turn on the parrot, you say that, and then you turn off the parrot. To turn off the parrot, you just press the pound key all by itself. So it's key up, give your call, 1 pound to turn it on, do your testing, hear what you sound like, and understand that the repeater's got a glitch there. For some reason, it's turning it back on if you don't do something until you turn it off. And then to turn it off, you just key up, press the pound sign, that turns it off. Does that make sense, or am I rambling?
It makes sense. Microphone or radio that does DTMS right now. I really want to get me a dual band radio that has that capability, but I think I'll just have to sell one or two of my radios that I got right now to get one.
Yeah, it does help to have a DTMF on your handheld, or even on a mobile rig. Mobile rigs have it as well. So yeah, it does do better with the DTMF pad. They make DTMF like on your smartphone. I got a DTMF dialer on my smartphone, so I could key up my handheld and have my smartphone sitting right there next to me and plug the DTMF buttons on my smartphone, and that may work. You have to keep in mind that not all DTMF is created equal. Kenwood DTMF versus Yaesu DTMF versus what you get on an app on your smartphone DTMF, they're not always created exactly the same. Some work better than others.
I'll do that. Well, I got a jump off. I need to make a phone call real quick, and it's just still there. I'll hold it back at you. Thank you for explaining that to me. I really appreciate it. I paid $25 to become a member of the Bridge Club, right?
Did you get a card? Have you received your ID card?
No, I haven't paid yet. I was just making sure I paid on the drars.cc website.
Okay, that's affirmative. I thought that was a statement or a question, not a statement. So yeah, you do. You can go to bars.cc and they use PayPal to take your money to join the club.
Do that. I will try and do that tonight. I've been talking on this repeater long enough. I got to know a few of you guys, and I really want to be a part of this family we got here. So thank you, Dave. And 7-3, I'll be clear on your phone.
All right, Chandler, have a good one. KO4WWZ, W4DJW, clear.
DJW, KN4CHY.
Man, Keith, you just sound like you just stepped out of the darkness into the light. It's like you were the guy behind the curtain on Wizard of Oz, and all of a sudden you just slammed the curtain to one side and stepped out into the room. It sounds like you're standing right here next to me.
Acceptable. I was hoping for angels singing, but that's good enough. I was wondering on the parrot. Do you have an option to like have it just cycle once and auto terminate?
No, and I didn't know that it was in that loop. I thought that until I had a way to turn off and on the courtesy tone, I wasn't able to test that. But now. Because I kept having to set the clock on the hardware controller. So this repeater's got two controllers. It's got a software and a hardware. We're going to do away with the hardware controller at some point when we go to the prototype repeater. But instead of setting the clock all the time over and over again, when the time zone goes forward and the time zone goes backwards, and it's just a whole lot of maintenance. So I just created another way to put it in net mode and take it out of net mode per a different clock other than the hardware clock. When I did that, that gave me the capability to test the parrot. And I just haven't thought about testing the parrot until Ben tried to use it earlier. He's a new amateur, new to this area. And he had questions, so I just answered all of his questions. Then I came over here to do some testing. So I didn't know that it was doing that. I knew it was doing something funky, but I couldn't remember what it was. Now that I know, I can look into it and see why it's doing that.
Yeah, I peripherally caught some of that earlier today, and to be honest, I have never heard an analog repeater with the parrot. I've always just run across that on digital mode, but it's pretty cool that it is.
Do you have a DTMF pad on that mic?
on the good one and the bad one. Over.
Can you turn it on and then say a few words and then turn it off? Do you to turn it on, you just hit 1 pound, and then to turn it off, you just hit pound. Can you try it just so that you can see what you sound like?
I put my glasses on so I could see the keypad, but yeah, I'll give it a shot. KN4CHY.
Okay, because I'm kind of co-located with the software controller, and my DTMF doesn't work so good when you're transmitting right next to where you're receiving, so it pays to have somebody else test it.
CHY testing, Parrot. Maybe I didn't get the DTMF. Maybe this mic's not working for that.
Yeah, I didn't hear any DTMF come out.
Sorry about that. No go on that then.
Well, maybe somebody else is listening that has a DTMF pad on there. It's not me, because I'm too close to the receiving antenna for the software controller.
Basically a Kenwood compatible mic. It's from the CS800D, and they say you can put a desk mic or whatever into it. So I thought the DTMF would still work.
Evidently, there's something different there. W4DJW.
KA5WLO.
Hey, Leroy, you got a DTMF pad?
I do. You want me to try it?
Yeah, you hit the number 1 and a pound to turn it on, and then you say a few words, and then you wait for it to say a few words back to you, and then you hit a pound by itself to turn it off.
Roger, 1 and a pound, and then a pound to turn it off. Stand by.
Okay,
LL testing, Parrot mode. K5WLL trying Parrot mode on 146610 repeater. K5WLL trying Parrot mode on 146610 repeater. WLL clear. WLL clear.
It turned off the first time. I forgot to tell you that the act of turning it off is also parroted. It doesn't know it's off when you're turning it off. So it echoes you turning it off as well. That's just a quirk in the way it works. It worked. It did exactly what you wanted it to do. Except it echoed it one more time while you were turning it off. It doesn't go off when you think it would have gone off. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I forgot about this mode. I know you told me about it a few months ago, and I forgot all about it.
Well, I appreciate you doing that, but it'll work if you just ignore it keying up on its own and just go ahead and key up and send in the tone and then key up and do your talking and then key up and turn it off. It works. The only thing that's unusual is that it does record you turning it off, and you can hear that, so you think it's not off, but it is.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. And I'm all clear out of here for a bit. I just heard you gentlemen in here talking about the Parrot mode, and thought I'd try to give a hand.
So how do you like how you sound?
I liked how I sounded on recordings.
Okay, but you are clear, right?
I'm clear, yes.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks. It's working. It just has a glitch I got to work out, but I'll work on that later. W4DJW. Have a good evening. Hey, Steve.
Bad news, Dave.
What, did you break something?
Only got the Bixler, the Maul, and the Bloody Wonder ready to fly.
Well, we could put some of that stuff where you break it, the chemical, and it glows in the night, do a green one on the left and a red one on the right, and go flying.
You are right. But hey, guess what? We got rain up here at my house. And it is actually still drizzling just ever so slightly. So, hopefully it'll be a little bit nicer tomorrow afternoon about 2 o'clock. And by the way, I've got them loaded in the back of my vehicle, and it just working out just peachy keen.
Well, that's good. You know, are you going to leave them in the? Are you going to leave the vehicle in the garage and leave it loaded and ready to go? All you got to do is open the garage door and drive out.
So tomorrow at some point, after I get through working some plastic, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to see if I can figure out what the hay is wrong with that 182. And I'm going to see if I can get that 182 back in the air. It has no structural or no airframe problems or servo problems for that matter, but I may need to replace the ESC on it. I'm just not sure. I'm just not getting full power out of the motor. So anyhow, I'm going to check on that tomorrow. So tomorrow afternoon, I may have four aircraft comfortably in the vehicle and ready to go. So I'm hoping. No, it just depends on my technical skill to get that 182 flying again.
Well, check out that front landing gear on that 182, because I remember it was kind of, it needed some attention.
Is where that doggone wheel pants on the front wheel keeps catching. And I've got to do something about that. You're absolutely right. I just remembered that also. It's been a while since I've had that one down. So, hey, another repair in the long list. So, who knows? Maybe I'll have it ready to go tomorrow, too. And, you know, just as a kind of a secondary concept, I may look at trying to fit the one of the others in here, either the Radian or the Cadet in here, to see how that fits. So, anyhow, it's going to be an interesting concept. So, anyhow, I bet it's been a while since you've heard that term, peachy keen. So, anyhow, you have a good evening. I thought I'd just let you know. And having some... So, all right, well, 73, yeah, final, unless you've got something else.
No, I'm good. I got to get back to my transmitting on the GPIO pin 4. I'm having a blast with that. I got to get back to it. But Ben jumped in there and wanted to know how the, you know, what the capabilities were. So I figured I'd get that, knock that one out, and then get back to my APER stuff. I'm having a blast with APERs. Almost as fun as flying, but not quite. KM4VWA, W4DJW, clear and listening.
Before you go, did you get your tender tush taken care of?
I am sitting in a new chair, and it came from Staples, and it is a jam-up chair, and this time I got a 3-year warranty for $20, because it's worth it, because that last one broke twice in a year and 2 months, and they said, with this warranty, if you sit down with a screwdriver in your pocket and you rip the leather, they'll send you a new chair.
Okay. Well, now, so is it heated, full, and a nice high-rise headrest, and adjustable height arms, and all that good stuff?
W4DJW, I texted Amy a picture of it, so that means there is a picture in my phone, so I just sent you a snapshot of it. It's a jam-up chair. It's pretty cool. They call it a gaming chair.
Well, then it should have all those good ergonomic adjustments. Congratulations, big guy. And I'm sure than what was going on with the other ones. So have a good evening. Catch you later, KM4VWA. I really am clear this time. Bye.
All right. And it's got arms that swivel up, so when I'm soldering stuff on the other bench behind me, I can raise the arms and my elbows don't run into my armrests. Cool. Catch you later. KM4VWA, W4DJW, clear and listening.
DJWKO4HDX.
Hey, Patrick. I was going to ask you if you've got a APERS map at home. Okay, I'm running UIView and Exaster, so I can see, you know, I don't have to use APERS FI, but APERS FI works too. But you do have APERS FI, a browser, right?
I have it on the computer.
Okay, do you have a question for me? I kind of interrupted you. Go ahead.
I wanted to talk about APRS. You said you were working on whatever you're doing, so you're right up the same lane I was going.
So I've always been a user of APRS. I've never been a developer of APRS. I've always consumed the product that it provides. Now I'm developing on the product that it provides, and it's a total different world. And now that I've now that I understand the AX25 protocol and how many fields it has and where the fields lie and how you delineate between fields, I can construct packets. I'm not the best in the world at it. I do make mistakes, but I can build a packet that will show up on the APERS table in the database on APERS FI, which tells me I am making, I'm making some ground. I'm learning.
Well, what is the benefit of that? So basically you're building out what the radio transmits?
Yeah, when you go in there and your config for whatever you're using, a Kenwood radio, a UIView 32, an APERS slice, a Java APERS, a Exaster, there's like 100 different ways to do APERS. Every one of them has a configuration screen somewhere, and you go in there and plug in your call sign and what your icon is, and all that goes together to create, in the end, a packet. And a packet starts with 16 characters, a zero and 14 ones and a zero, and it ends in the same thing, and that all combined is called a frame. And a frame has like seven or nine fields in it, and each field tells you something different, and each field has capabilities on formats that you can assemble. And so you write out this big text string, and then you pass it into the program that will turn that text string into a wave file, and then you shove that wave file, in my case, at a GPIO pin on a Raspberry Pi, and it transmits it locally. And if you've got a digipeater next to you in the same room, which I do, I've got a couple of them, I just turn it on to digi, which means repeat what you hear. Because what comes out the GPIO pin on pin 4 is really, really low, like a microwatt. It's tiny. It makes it across the room, but that's as far as that signal goes. It doesn't even make it out of the house hardly. It might go up to the next neighbor's house, but it doesn't go any further than that. So you need something to pick up that packet from the air, from that GPIO pin, which is an antenna, right, resonating at 144.39, and you need something to pick it up and pass it on up to the mountain, give it a little more oomph, and that's what's happening. So I'll send it out here locally off of a GPIO pin. It gets picked up by my digipeater. My digipeater sends it to the digipeter on the mountain, and I've got my Y2-1 and 2-2 set up so that it'll repeat twice, once from my Pi to my digipeater, once from my digipeater to the digipeater on the mountain, and then it gets to repeat it one more time, and then I can see it in the APERS map. That's a lot. Is that consumable?
I'm having to take it in, but yes, that's consumable.
But I've always just been, you know, I just configure them and use them. Like Tiny Track 4 is when you configure and use. You configure it to interact with your hardware, and then you use it. I've never been on the side where you develop the packets themselves, and that's kind of, it's interesting.
I'll have to take your word for it. I've never done anything like that, so I don't know.
Well, for example, for direction finding, they don't sell anything out there that builds that packet, but APERS is capable of direction finding. So if you go out and look on APERS FI, you'll see a W4NYK-1 that is a DF packet. It's a direction finding packet. And look at the comment in it, and you can see nanoseconds and daytime nanoseconds and all kinds of stuff.
So is that how you can hook the GPS to the Kenwood 710? I got other and click on them, and it will give you directions to them.
You got it. You're putting it all together. It's coming together. So I got a GPS that has it's got an extra pin on it, and that extra pin is the top of the second. It gives you, at the sound of the tone, like WWV, at the sound of the tone, it will be, and it tells you what time it's going to be, and then you hear, and that's when that's at the top. Well, the GPS satellites do the same thing. They say, you know, when this pin strikes, you're going to be at the top of the second. And then you've got a billion slices between there and the top of the next second, 1 billion different slices. And the Pi can keep up with things down to a billionth of a second, no problem. So, and it tests that every so often, every like 5 seconds. It says, am I within 250 nanoseconds? Yes or no. And if it's not, then it uses that pin on the GPS that is the top of the second, and it resets your Pi's clock. So now you know time accurately down to 250 billionths of a second.
Pretty accurate. I'm way more accurate than I can be.
Well, if you think about it, we're using light waves, all right? It's just on a different frequency. It's still waves. It's waves of energy. Whether it's visible light to our eye or not, it's electromagnetic pulses that go across the sky. Well, if you can slow time down to where you can see within a billionth of a second, you can see that signal coming at you, and you can measure when it arrives if you could slow everything down. Well, the same, we're just doing that. We're just doing it in real time. So you can tell, you know, if a signal arrives at me 500 billionths of a second sooner than it does at you, then we know exactly where that person is between you and me.
I see what you're saying now, and that would be very useful in a lot of situations.
Yeah, it's fun technology. It just takes time to develop, but it's fun. It's fun learning it. You could go out and buy it if you've got hundreds of thousands of dollars to throw away, or you can build it and it doesn't cost you anything. That's the beauty of programming, right? The beauty of programming is you can build anything, and cost is not a factor.
And I get that, and I would love to be more into that, learn more about it. Just like Chad, though, I'm going to have to start real small. Trying to turn on a light bulb or LED would be about the extent of it.
Well, that's where I started, but it was about 50 years ago. Not really, not 50. It was back in the late 80s, early 70s. Or no, late 70s, early 80s.
The time I was 5 years old.
Oh, you know, and that's the thing about it, is it changes constantly. What I learned back in the 70s and 80s is, I mean, it's applicable in terms of, you know, just a reference point for how it used to be, but it's not applicable for how it is today. That's why it's taken me so long. Programming takes time, no matter whether you've been at it for a long time or you haven't. Discovering a new library and learning how to use it is like learning a new language. It's like learning CW.
I can see where that's definitely programming the ones, zeros, and dashes and spaces. That's all going to be a new language, just like you say, CW.
Recognizing Chandler. It is. It just takes time. Takes time and patience and a little bit of nerdiness. Go ahead, Chandler. W4DJW.
Well, I just got back in the car. What you guys talking about?
Go ahead, Patrick.
We're talking about how programming APRS and APRS works.
Packet stuff. Has not done packet yet. Dave, can you get packet from like a computer instead of just a radio?
Well, that's what it is. Radio is a method to transmit packet, but packet is something that you do on a computer.
So it's like movements. I would need a computer to use, as in a radio to use it with the computer.
Yeah, it's a way that machine parts like radios can, and cars and modems can talk to each other that humans can understand.
What are you doing today, then? Where did you make stops at?
Today is my easily in the morning to mid-afternoon, and then I make my way over to Greer and finish up there. And then tomorrow I'm in Greer all day.
Roger that. Do you ever
work
Greenville at all?
No, sir, I do not.
Well, I've been wanting to meet you in person real bad. Just every time I turn around, I'm in a different spot for me to come see you. Because I'm working and my lunch break ain't that long.
Hey, don't worry about it. We'll figure out a way. But, gentlemen, I have arrived at my QTH for the evening, and it's time for me to go feed myself here. So I'm going to say 7-3 for now. Dave, appreciate the information, and always a pleasure to talk to you. And, Chandler, be safe out there. Good to talk to you. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear for now. 7-3, guys.
All right, Patrick. Well, have a good one. I'm going to go back to programming myself. And then it's getting time to eat. The dog's already starting to pester me about getting her something to eat. So good talking to you. Take care, Chandler. Have a good evening, W4DJW Clear.
That's 73 Bay, 73 Texas. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Finally meet you at Philbank. I really enjoyed getting to meet you and Leroy and Bob and everybody. It was a real pleasure. And thank you for all that y'all did for me. And thank you for being so kind and lovely. You're from the WWZ. I'll be on the side listening.
It was a great review on that station that just said all that. WX7MB was listening.
WX7MB, this is KO4WWZ. Good evening, sir.
Been listening on my trip home from work, and I'll be in the driveway here in a moment. How you doing?
Quite all right. And I don't believe I have heard your call sign on the repeater before. What's your name, sir? My name is Chan. Tell me to get off in November, and it's nice to meet you.
I haven't been spent much time on 2-meter or any repeaters. Only Loeb just recently discovered this repeater. Name is Mark. Mike Alpha Romeo Kilo, call sign Whiskey X-Ray 7. Mike Bravo migrated here 2 years ago from the west and got a station set up and only been on HF until just recently. Finally got 2-meter working.
Oh, I love HF. HF is where it's at, man. HF is where it's at. And I am working on getting my general license because I really want to get up on HF and just DX to my heart's content.
Left lane on HF right now. 6 meters has been open off and on lately with some great openings to the Midwest, up the East Coast, and I've even been hit Washington, Oregon, Nevada on a simple dipole that I can rotatable dipole. So I will hope to get you again on the repeater. I'm destinated here in 73s.
Love that. WX7MB 73 from KO4 WWZ.